Broadcasting in 10, 9, 8, 7. Susan, you don't need your bra on, it's just radio. 6, 5. Has anyone seen my song? 4, 3. Emily, so? You're naked? Okay, who cares? 2, 1. Trolls Den Live. From the softer side of life. Music from New Age, ambient, Native American, Celtic, folk, acoustic, and soft goth. With your host, the troll himself, from Mystic Age Radio. Yeah, you might want to bring something to sit on. Trolls aren't known for their housekeeping.
Yeah, and every week I say that it's not fair that we do well. As far as housekeeping is concerned, we just don't keep up with the furniture. That's the only problem. It's Wednesday night, and you're here with the troll once again. Tonight, we're going to have an evening with Jane Ellen, a special lady who will pick up just before September, October, somewhere around there. And get a lot of requests from her from people who email me who's just looking for something to get them through the day to, you know, just to mellow them out a little quick. We're going to have a commercial break first, and then we're going to listen to Dream With Me, and then we get into the interview. Oh, no. I know Jane is sweating her palms now. Oh, come on, kitten. What did I do now?
I can't believe you forgot our anniversary again.
What anniversary this time?
Oh, my God. I can't believe you forgot about our first kiss.
Oh, kitten, I'm sorry. Is there anything I could do to make it up to you?
Well, there is something I've been wanting from Mistress Marie's Gothic shops. Here, I'll show you. That.
Okay, let's go ahead and order it for you now. What are these logos?
Mistress Marie helps support Mystic Age Radio, Haunting Existence Radio, Celestial Paranormal Research and Investigation, Southern New England Paranormal, and Women's International Study of the Paranormal Conference with each sale.
Cool. What's the web address, just in case I forget another anniversary?
It's www.cafepress.com/mistress-slave. All one word.
Thank you. phone right now, we have Jane Ellen with us, and she's going to be giving away 6 of her CDs to 3 lucky individuals. So, Jane, tell us just a little bit about yourself.
About myself? Well, I listen to...
Well, no, about me.
About you? Well, I was just starting to say that I listen to MAR Radio. What more do you want?
Well, the people want to know, the inquiring minds want to know about you.
About me.
Yeah.
Well, I'm a composer, keyboardist. I have a very eclectic music background as well as eclectic music tastes, which comes out in what I write. I've written for everything from serious classical concert hall to musical theater, done some radio work, did a television documentary theme, and when I record, I generally do piano music with some keyboard and occasionally percussion instruments added in.
Now, is this electrical percussion?
I'm sorry?
Is this electrical percussion? Synthesized percussion?
Actually, on the Christmas album I just did, I did cheat a bit. I got away with some bells and things that I did on a keyboard, but generally I bring in an actual drummer to do some medieval stuff and some Latin things for me on every CD that I do.
Cool. Now, how far back does your musical training actually go?
Oh, the training doesn't go back that far. The addiction goes back to childhood.
Well, if we have to go back to childhood, let's go there.
Oh, I think not.
Where does this start?
I decided on the spur of the moment, I suppose, to be a composer when I was 7. Why, I don't know. The whole family was mystified, and I sort of toyed with the idea. I never really wrote anything to speak of. I played a lot of different instruments. And I won't mention one of them because I think I'm going to make that a trivia question for listeners later in the program. But I played in band in school and played an orchestral instrument for a while and eventually wound up in college as a piano major. And it was a long time before I actually started writing music. And then I went and did some formal composition studies after that, threw out most of what I learned, and now I just do my own thing.
Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but when I was on your MySpace, and by the way, folks, it's MySpace / Jane Ellen, isn't it? Or is it Jane Music?
Jane Ellen Music.
It's Jane Ellen Music.
Yeah, Jane Ellen was taken, so I had to do Jane Ellen Music.
Okay, don't forget to check that out. And you also have a website, right?
Yes, janeellen.com.
There we go. And so we got those plugs in real quick. But on your MySpace, there are a few photographs of you in France.
Mm-hmm.
Is that correct? Now, were you studying there, or were you just on vacation there?
I lived over there as a child for several years. Went to a French school where no one spoke any English, which was exciting. By the time I came back to the United States, I spoke better French than I did English. And because I was immersed in British literature from as far back as I can remember, and then was studying French in a French school, my American English skills were forever ruined, so I consistently write as a Brit and have sort of a Heinz 57 accent at this point.
Well, that's not a bad thing. I mean,
I don't think so. I'm not afraid of it.
I lived in Britain for a short period of time, as most people know, and we have no culture, I'm sorry to say. The concept of what we have here is just taken somewhere else and, excuse the expression, bastardized.
That's precisely right.
And it's sad, especially some of our, even our shows have actually, I mean, take for instance the TV shows with the Antique Roadshow, what else? Those House While You're Gone and those type of shows actually came from the BBC and then translated over into the United States audience. Everybody, you know, assumes that we're the inventors of it all, and the reality of it is no, the world's the inventor. We just change it.
And sadly, by the time it gets to us, generally it's dumbed down for the audiences on this side of the pond.
Yeah, unfortunately. Now, you said that you just recently did a Christmas CD. How long ago was it that you actually completed that?
It was completed, we went into post-production in September, and it was released first week in October.
Okay. Now, you live in Arizona. Do you take any of that landscape?
New Mexico, actually.
New Mexico. Ah, bad troll. That was me slapping myself. New Mexico, which, again, still has some very, very beautiful landscape. Have you ever used any of that to translate into your music?
I can't say that I have. I seem to be one of the few people that aren't completely in love with the landscape. I'm not a desert rat. And although there are parts of the area that's grown on me a little bit, it's not my first choice of places to be. And I don't believe it's influenced my music. I write a lot of things about other places, places I've been or places that I would like to be. But except for a little tiny piano teaching piece called Gypsy Guitars, I don't think I've done anything that was even remotely Southwestern.
So you do play guitar as well?
No, it was written for piano, and that was
the title. Oh, okay.
I did play guitar very badly with my country western band for 3 years.
Oh my goodness, you were a country western band?
Right.
We got to hear more about this.
You see, we were a jazz variety band, but when the jazz variety gigs began drawing up at the country clubs, we found out we could buy a second set of clothes, change our name, do a second repertoire, and hit the country bars on the off nights.
So. Okay.
So, yeah.
Well, I've done this stint with country and western as well, but as a disc jockey. There was a local station here in Fort Pierce that JW was the name, and we did country and western. But I've never played. I've always played either jazz or rock and roll.
So I had my light blue boots and my cowgirl hat, and I did my Pat Klein songs. Tanya Tucker.
Oh, we're talking way back then.
Late 80s.
Late 80s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you were still actually stretching it then, because in late 80s you had Shania Twain and those girls coming up at that time.
Yeah, but you would be surprised how much the people at the Moose Lodge don't want Nashville pop.
Okay.
They want the real country western.
So what instruments can you say that you do play?
I play at just about anything I can get my hands on. The only thing I have proficiency with right now would be keyboards. I have played clarinet and violin, played a little dulcimer, a little guitar.
Any brass?
Only to make rude and obnoxious noises. Not a brass player at all. Don't have the lungs for bagpipes, so God knows I've tried.
I've always wanted to try that
a lot. But no brass.
But have you tried to take your clarinet, your knowledge from the clarinet, and transfer over to saxophone? You look like a saxophone player. That's the reason why I ask.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know. I borrowed an alto sax from a friend who was a band teacher for a couple of summers and taught myself to play alto sax. It wasn't that different from the clarinet fingering. And I had some fun messing around with it, but I never did anything seriously. Certainly never performed on it.
Mm.
I enjoy saxophone music very much, but I'm picky about who I listen to.
Okay. Well, we're going to be right back with a few more questions after this break. still here with Jane Ellen. She hasn't ran away from me yet. Jane, tell us about what you see as your short-term goals and your long-term goals as far as your music is concerned.
Short-term, I'm just beginning to explore some of the possibilities of self-promotion that I didn't even know were out there. I'm very excited by some of the publicity that my recordings have been generating. I have one more album in the works, which will complete sort of a trilogy of full-length CDs that began back in 2004. What I'm hoping for is that all of this will lead me to some steady writing, possibly doing radio soundtracks, audiobook soundtracks, as well as my own solo compositions. And the big passion on the back burner is theater music. That's what I really like doing best, but if you don't have millions and millions of dollars from backers, it's a very difficult field to break into. And I'd be quite happy doing some soundtrack work at this time.
Yeah, are you familiar with Luigi Sagittino, who we also play?
No, I've read across the name on the website, but there's so many people I haven't caught up with yet. You play some incredible artists.
Well, Luigi's actually now starting to do what we call beds. Beds are just the sound effects that or sound of music mm-hmm. in the background that that radio stations play while they do their commercials.
Right.
And I guess he's actually doing fairly well with that. He charges like $20-$30 per piece, and we're talking about a 30-second to a minute piece. Just doing it that way by self-promoting himself and a few others, that he's actually making a decent living, and he lives in Italy. So, you know, you have to make quite a bit there to just make a decent living. But, self-promotion on the Internet, it's where I personally have an issue with the record companies, because I play independent artists. I want to help people like yourselves and others, but the thing is the big names, and I'm not going to name them because I don't want to get sued.
Right.
They are basically made themselves extinct because they did not put enough money into research and development mm-hmm. to understand the greatness of what the Internet actually can provide. Because when your music is being played, it's not being played to just U.S. listeners. It's being played to everybody in the world who has an Internet connection.
Well, it's been astonishing to me to see just what your radio station has accomplished for me, and coupled with MySpace, which I've only been working with for not even 4 months. I had the page, but it just sat there for ages because I didn't know what to do with it. And another friend in Texas said, "Why aren't you working MySpace?" I said, "Well, because I don't know what to do with it." And he gave me some tips, and now all of a sudden I have literally got a fan base growing worldwide. My iTunes sales are picking up. All the digital downloads are picking up. And it's because of exposure from your station and from MySpace, and now from a station in Korea that has picked me up that is yet another Internet station.
What station is that?
That's Happy Day New Age Radio.
Yes, I'm familiar with them. Didn't Mystic Age also pick you up? Folks, so you don't get confused, there's Mystic Age Radio, and then there is Mystic Age, so don't get confused.
No, I've submitted to them, but I've never heard back. And supposedly Spirit Within was playing some of my material, but I haven't been able to find out how much or when. I think they're at a huge growth spurt right now, and it's... Mm-hmm. I think they've got more than they can handle, and there's a big lag time in communication. But all of this is such phenomenal publicity for the artists that the major labels are missing out on. It's stupid.
Well, the thing is they're, by doing it this way, and Mark Gunn, who's another artist that we play, he's
right,
been at this...
Celtic Cat Lover.
Yes, that's him. That's the Ryan Scott. Yeah.
Oh, I knew it.
He's been at this for years, and he's very good at self-promoting, and he's able to, within several months be able to put together a tour to go to Ireland to do a show there, and then be able to come back to Texas, which, not too far from y'all. He told me when we were first starting out that
the internet actually provides more income to the artist than if they would went to a through the routes of going through a label, because there are no middlemen unless you're using CD Baby and they take their little chunk, or if you go through iTunes they take their little bit. But you're talking about eliminating the label and going right to the distributor, pretty much. And that's one of the reasons why I got into it, because I am a musician. I haven't played one in eons. But that was my primary goal, was to help worthy artists to be able to get their music out. And the internet has basically given that tool to everybody. Now, you were talking about getting into a little bit of theater work. Have you submitted any music to them yet, or is that something that you're waiting on just to get the right piece together?
Well, I've done several things. With a playwright in California, we entered the infamous 10-minute musical festival and made it into the top 10% with one of our 10-minute works, which was a Motown rendering of Edgar Allan Poe's The Raven.
Oh, that sounds cool.
It's pretty fun. It's called Ed Poe and the Ravenettes. The big hit song was I Hate Being Dead and There's Nothing to Do Down Here Blues, which was sung by Lenore. I keep threatening to put that on MySpace, but I haven't yet. I may do it for Halloween this year. And then
I want a copy.
Oh, well, you can have a copy of the whole thing.
I want a copy.
I'll be happy to make it for you. See, you're so nice to me. What else can I do but give you a copy?
Well, yeah. You're the angel, that's why.
Oh, here we go, folks. Don't believe a word of this.
She's such a sweetheart. Don't listen to her. I mean, she gives it as well as takes, but I'm telling you, she's just a sweetheart. Just don't listen to her. She was the one who came up with this whole idea of giving stuff away. I was just being a Scrooge.
Well, I wouldn't have called you a Scrooge, but that's true. I am giving of all my hard-earned money and resources and talent to all you wonderful listeners. Enough of that.
Wait a minute, let me get the violin music going first.
I did a show with a local playwright called Kathy Matthews. The show is called Burying Mama, and the plot is pretty interesting. It has to do with a woman who is the matriarch of a dysfunctional family at best. And when she dies across the country from where she wanted to be buried, back in her old hometown. And both daughters are dealing with their various lives and dysfunctionality, and Mama ends up laying on ice for 6 months so people can get around to having the memorial service. So then you go through everyone getting together for the memorial service, and of course all the skeletons come out of the closet, and you find out all of these different things that nobody knew about each other. And kind of an odd angle for a musical comedy, but it went very well, a couple of workshops that we did. And then we came close to production twice, but the musical theater market out here has taken a big hit recently, and they've just pulled back from doing independent ventures and are trying to raise capital by doing the tried and true shows. So right now, the playwright has been sending it off, trying to option it to different regional theaters around the country, and I'm hopeful something may come of that.
Well, they've recently just started doing that here in Florida. They were doing a lot of independent stuff, and now they're going to the tried and true. Matter of fact, they're doing the producers now to try to gain up some capital so that they can go back to doing the independent stuff. It's unfortunate that people don't realize that the tried and true were actually independents at one point.
That's right. Everybody started as an independent at some point.
And the whole concept of, you know, being a Aaron Coppola all at one time just doesn't happen. It takes long, arduous hours of working.
And networking.
Yes. Well, today it's networking. Back then, I don't think it was so much networking. It was do it or else. I've heard stories about how Aaron did his work.
Well, and of course, you know, times have changed in that we networked differently. Back then, it was out there pounding the pavement and knocking on doors, getting people to listen to your stuff in person.
Mm-hmm.
They would have been amazed at the concept of popping a mini CD in the post to someone or emailing a song. It's very much easier today, but then again, I think it's also easier for people to ignore you. They just say, oh, I never got that email.
Okay, we need you to put on your Oracle hat, being the great matron that you are.
My Oracle hat?
Your Oracle hat.
Excuse me.
Wait a minute, let me finish this here. See what I mean, folks? She constantly gives me a hard time.
I wanted a...
She's a sweetheart.
I wanted a sorting hat.
Sorting cat?
Yeah,
fucking. Oh, we're going to bring Harry Potter into this now, aren't we? Oh, jeez. What house are you going to be? Gryffindor?
This is why I'd probably get Hufflepuff.
Okay, what house would you put me in?
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
That would be one of the Harry Potter type dilemmas, because you could be so great in Slytherin. But you probably ought to be in Gryffindor.
Oh, I see. I'll take it as a compliment, yes. Anyway, where were we? Putting on the great sorting hat for you, and being the matriot that you are, give some advice to these youngsters in high school, or junior high, or those who are just about to go into college,
mm-hmm.
about entering into a music career. What should they do?
Wow. That's a pretty broad topic, because there's so many areas of music. Do you mean just overall, or performing, or writing, or...
Well, those who are usually going out of high school, going into college, it's, they're still dealing with the classics, because that's all the only type of programs they offer until you get into graduate school, and then you get into different levels of music theory. So let's just say from junior high, high school, going into college, staying within understanding the instruments that you're playing and where you should... You know, how much you should put forth into it. Should they get into other studies along with it, just in case, whatever the case. It's all up to you, babe.
Any sort of career in the arts is dodgy at best. You've got to be sure that you're willing to give up just about everything else for it. You've got to be really, really passionate. And college can be a good place to find that out, because if you're not passionate enough to not mind putting in the long rehearsal hours or the late nights or finding out you didn't get enough study time because you had extra practice time and trying to learn how to juggle all those things, it may be time to think about putting music as a minor and looking for something more secure. There are a lot of people who go through life with a different career, but who work in musical theater within the community, or who sing in volunteer choirs or church choirs, or play in volunteer bands. But if you're crazy enough to want to go all the way, it's pretty much going to be 110% of your time. You've got to be committed to what you're doing. And you need to learn as much about every aspect as you can. Even if you just want to emulate a classical musician, say like a cellist, like Yo-Yo Ma, he doesn't play just classical music. He's released everything from jazz to bluegrass to mm-hmm. traditional Japanese music. Every little bit that you can pick up from any style is going to make you a better musician. So you need to listen constantly. You need to play constantly. You need to expose yourself to as much as possible and be prepared to be a little crazy part of the time, because it will make you nuts. It's rigorous and it's difficult, but it's incredibly rewarding if you can stick in there and make it work.
You see, now, you gave me a much better answer than I expected, because I expected you to go to the old Carnegie Hall joke. How do you get to Carnegie Hall?
Practice. Oh, yes, there's always the key word, persistence and patience and practice. And but it comes down to more than that. It has to be a whole body experience, really, a total immersion, if you're going to make a life out of it. because anything less is not going to get you there.
Okay, now you've had some European training, you've had some U.S. training. Tell us the difference between, because everybody knows the word Juilliard. Tell us the difference between the U.S. training of Juilliard to comparative to classical training in Europe.
Well, I haven't actually trained musically abroad, but I can give you an idea of the difference. The European schools, even the schools within the United Kingdom, have a lot more government support and funding than the schools in this country. The primary and secondary schools in many cities throughout the United States have lost all of their music departments, which means for a kid to aspire to get to Curtis Institute or Berkeley in Boston or the Juilliard School, they've got to have parents who are able to put an inordinate amount of money into private lessons for them. Whereas if they were growing up in the UK or in Germany or Austria or France, they would have access to programs within the schools automatically of a very high level compared to educational music in this country. I think I found out very early what the problem is to some extent, and that has to do with expecting less for some reason. I had written a little piece for a publisher when I was doing some children's choral music, and I sent it off to them, and they wrote it back with one of the strangest rejection letters I've ever received. I had dared to write the piece for a note more than an octave for children, so it covered 9 notes. And they informed me that the American school child could not sing more than a 5 or 6 note range and suggested that I send the piece off to the Vienna Choir Boys.
Okay.
And I think they were serious. And the sad thing is, it was nowhere near the quality of something a professional choral group like the Vienna Choir Boys would sing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was certainly something that could have been taught to any group of children who had a teacher who cared and was willing to put the effort in to doing the training. But the publisher's attitude was that you can't expect children to do this sort of thing. You must make it very simple for American school children.
I was in elementary school throughout the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
And we had music the whole time. And now we did not have instrument lessons provided to us until fifth grade. But with music, you also pick up math. You also pick up science.
That's correct.
And the biggest thing that I've had a problem with, especially of recent, from the high school that I graduated from the high school that I also attended in Ohio, is that they are still putting hand over fist money into programs like the football program, which I have no problems with. We do need to learn how to come together as a community and teamwork and all those things. But when you have programs like your music program or your choir program, who teaches other things like science and math, which is just as important, I am really, really afraid of what we are actually producing as young children. I was out the other day, and I was just being a smart aleck, as usual, and I said, "I shall return." And the kid just gave me that weird look. I go, "Okay, where in history does that come from?" The kid's answer was, "The Terminator."
No, that was the Bach.
Exactly. Not only did he get it wrong, he got it severely wrong. The fact that they didn't even know who one of the greatest American generals, Douglas MacArthur, was. And it was less than a century ago. You know, history is important so that we don't repeat those mistakes again and again and again. And obviously, all right, I'm going to get political here, folks, sorry. Obviously, this particular president didn't take history either. Because historically, no Western civilization has been able to hold that area of the world for any length of time. None Nada. Zilch. None of them have been able to. What expects him to be able to? I'm sorry, I got off of my showbox
here. That's right. The thing is that all of these are integrated into what used to be viewed as the essential areas of study or the humanities by the mm-hmm. Greeks. Music was just as important as history, which exactly. was just as important as your physical development, mm-hmm. which was just as important as their idea of studying science and their version of the maths at that point. And we've lost that whole integration. They saw very clearly that you can't understand a period of music if you don't understand what's happening in the society when it was written, which means you must know the history.
Exactly.
You can't understand the history if you don't know who the people were and where they came from and why they found themselves in that situation. And on it goes. And that's, I think, what we're missing in American education. We just don't have that sense of integration. Everything is very splintered into little, almost comic book segments.
Mm-hmm.
And the arts have become the throwaway part of that.
Well, it's even true with, well, we can say Americana music. If you don't understand what was going on through slavery, you're not going to understand the old gospels, the old gospel hymns.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't understand the pain, the anguish, and the hope that they had. And it's true with bluegrass, because bluegrass was, of course, a Celtic in origins,
mm-hmm.
but it had its own mark. The same thing with jazz. Unless you know the region and the history of it, it doesn't have the same flavor.
And what can be sadly lacking, even in this country, where I think we spoke earlier about how we just sort of appropriate things. It's the old Chekhov joke from Star Trek that, oh, the Russians invented this, and they invented that, and they invented this. I was teaching a class once on Celtic and folk music from the British Isles, and this woman got terribly upset with me because so many were songs that she knew and related to, but knew them as American songs.
Mm-hmm.
And she laid into me after the class because we don't have British music over here. We have American music, and I shouldn't be playing their versions of our music in class.
Well, that's a little bit hard considering it existed beforehand.
I know, and I tried to explain, I said, well, you know, we came from there. We brought the music with us hundreds of years ago. That's why it's here. That's why it's all through Appalachia. That's why it's in different parts of the country, because we're a nation of immigrants. And she just got very upset because she felt that I was demeaning American folk music in some way. It's like, but...
That's where American folk comes from, is the folk from everywhere else. Easily. All right. Excuse me. Didn't mean to do that. Let's go ahead and give them those websites again before I let you go, and then we can deal with those questions.
Okay. If they'd like to see my page on MySpace, it's under Jane Ellen Music. And on the internet, my regular webpage is www.janeellen.com.
Well, I want to thank you, Jane Ellen, for giving us your time and putting up with me, of course. The lovely troll. Oh, you say that now. Anyway, where was I? You got me all messed up. And then we'll go ahead and get with those three questions so those lucky, well, three listeners can get a 2-CD set from you. Well, as you can hear, that the interview went on just a little bit longer than I had planned on it, but it was such a great pleasure to be able to talk to somebody with Jane's background, and, well, needless to say, she pokes fun at me, I enjoy it, so anyway. So what's going to happen is I'm going to play three more tunes. It's going to be Season of Change, an Irish Shamrock, and Daydream. And after that, we're going to start the contest. So if you're listening to the show and like a chance to win a 2-CD set from Jane Ellen, you need to come to CygnusRadio.com and come into the chat room and be prepared to answer whatever questions she asks. I'm going to give you a hint. The answers you'll find it on MySpace, on her MySpace anyway. So we're going to get back to the music. First song we're going to be listening to is Season of Change. After that, an Irish Shamrock, and Daydreams after that. said, give us the first question for the first set of CDs.
The first question is, what unusual instrument did I play as a child?
Alright, Miss Ellen, give us question number two for the listeners.
Question number two. What is my favorite sport?
You know, I'm going to get this on the recording. I'm going to get in trouble with Alex Trebek, but who cares? He's a Canadian. Who cares?
That's right. He doesn't care.
I heard he just... Hey, Miss Ellen, give us the first question for the first set of CDs.
The first question is, what unusual instrument did I play as a child?
What was the instrument that she played as a child? You'll have two songs to figure it out.
All right, Miss Ellen, give us the first question. Thank you. give us the third and final question.
The third and final question is, what is my favorite television program?
So we know what the first answer is. It was accordion. But because of technical difficulties upon my part, question two was read at the same time. So it's my fault. Question two is now null and void. And we're going to have another question after this one. The question that you just heard was, what is Jane Ellen's favorite TV show? Guess that, and you get a set of CDs from Jane Ellen. Next up, we're going to have Morning, and feature of Ken Ballard is next. And after that, we'll have Hard to Say Goodbye, and then the new question number two. folks, come on. How hard can it be? It's who her favorite artist is. It could be found on MySpace. Come on. if that music just doesn't get you in a nice, mellow mood, nothing will. We've got our three winners. Christy from CPRI got the first CD set. Second one went to... who did the second one? Oh, Time Away. Yes. Another one of our artists. And then third one went to Ed. Now, we do have one large contest coming up in the month of March. It's going to be running for three consecutive weeks. What will be happening is that we have dolls from Fairy Spell Creations. These are very lovely little dolls. And basically how it's going to work is I am going to be giving a question on the 5th. And you have until 5 days later to email me the answer. At which point, those with the right answer will be put into a drawing to win one of these dolls. Now, these dolls are one of a kind. There are no reproductions of these. These are exquisitely handmade dolls. So stay tuned in March for your chance to win these. Now, instead of interrupting again later on, we're going to go ahead and do a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 run set. And we'll go ahead and end out the show. After me, there will be DJ G-Gon on the Cygnus Radio side, and on the Mystic Age Radio side, we go back to our normal playlist. So sit back, relax, and let Jane Ellen play her magic for you. once again, you've wasted another Wednesday night with the Troll at Troll Stands Live. I want to thank Jane Ellen for sharing her talent, and as well sharing these CDs so the listeners can have an opportunity to own them. So, remember, next month we're going to have the Fairy Creation, or Fairy Spell Creation Contest, where we'll be giving a doll out for 3 weeks. And next up you have DJ Gigon on the Cygnus Radio side, and you have regular playtime over at Mystic Age Radio. So all have a blessed evening.